Hello again, everybody. Scott Casper here for TDR TV, InternetWrestle.com. Very special interview brought to you by our friends at Clinch Gear. Let's head out to Ohio, where we find one of the programs that we've been following for quite some time, and the head coach there, Jim Andrassy, the head coach of the Flashes of Kent State. Coach, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for letting me be on it.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you happy with how people earn their way and wild cards and everything as far as NCAA pairings go for the brackets that are issued? I mean, is the MAC well represented? Your thoughts?
Well, I think this is the fairest way to do it. You know, it looks at this season, it looks at how you guys do during the season. You know, ultimately, I think our conference did pretty well as far as getting qualifiers. You know, it's one of those things where you always wish that there were a few more that would have gotten in. But in the same sense, you know, I think I got two guys that were right on the bubble. And if you really, really look at it, they probably don't deserve to be there. I think, you know, you hope they get there. But we hoped they would have gotten there selected by the NCAA. But they're young, and they've got some bad losses. They've got some good wins. But ultimately, they didn't win enough of the good matches. So, you know, it's in my opinion, it's the fairest system that I've ever seen or could imagine there be.
I think that's fair. We're talking with Jim Andrassy, the head coach of the Kent State Flashes. Now, fifth-year senior Danny Mitchiff will go in at 30-3. A 30-3-year coach. Here in the number six seed at 33 pounds will take on Stanford's Justin Paulson. He could face MAC rival and number 11 seed Scotty Santez in the round of 16. Talk about your fifth-year senior Danny Mitchiff.
Well, I think,
hard time saying not Mitchiff.
That's Danny Mitchiff. I think Danny's, you know, better than the sixth seed, but like I said, he'll have the opportunity to prove that. And it's a tough weight class. You know, he only has three losses. I think out of those three losses, one of them was a bad one. It's just a bad time of the year, and he had a bad match. The other one was to Santez, where he really didn't open up. And then the first loss he had was to the number one seed in the tournament. So, you know, he's a good kid, and like I said, he's got to prove that he's better than the 60. That's what we talk about all the time.
Well, and he's entering a weight class that is exceedingly tough. I consider 33 a little more wide open, though. It's not one of those weights where you can just odds on pick a guy that's going to win all the way through. You really can't. I think Danny's a really good example of young men that who will walk in at a number six seed and go, wait a second, I'm much better than this. I'm 30-3 on the year. You have had some real difficult competition this year. It's not been what we call a built year to pad a record. Kilgore proved this out with a 33-1 record on the year. Redshirt sophomore, is there a tougher one at 84 pounds in the country than he? Man, I tell you what, on any given day, I can't tell you that there is. He's got the number three seed at 84. He's paired with Cornell freshman Steve Bozak in the opening round. And take a look at what Bozak's record is, 25-13. You know, Kilgore, if anybody has an opportunity to win at 84 pounds, is that guy.
Yeah, and that's what we talk about. I think that he's as good as anyone in that bracket. And, you know, he has to wrestle a perfect tournament and, you know, hopefully have a little bit of luck along the way. And like I said, his goal is to be a national champion after this week. So we'll see what happens.
What does he have to do, Coach, in order to win that national title, to be able to climb to the top of the box? What kind of mindset does Kilgore have to have going into this competition? And what does he have to carry through the 3 days of what I call, it is the grandest of stages, but it's 3 days of wrestling hell for an athlete. They literally have to prepare for this all season long. They have to have their mind on this. But what does Dustin Kilgore have to do to win this thing?
I think that the biggest thing for Dustin is just being patient. You know, making sure that he just isn't making wild shots and that he isn't going out there and, you know, thinking that he has to score 14 points because we're in a duel and we need a major decision. Just go out there and not necessarily slow things down, but make sure that when he shoots, he makes good shots. When he sprawls the right way, and that he isn't, you know, thinking way ahead of his body movement, which sometimes he does. But, you know, he's a tough kid, so I don't think the three-day tournament will bother him. I don't think the weight cutting will bother him. I think last year was a perfect example of the way not to approach this tournament. So he learned last year, and we're hoping this year that he can turn it around and do the little things that we've been working on to get him in the opportunity to win his national championship.
Kilgore has what I consider to be very good hips. In other words, he has the ability to go from waist to to knees where the waist goes, the knees will follow, generally speaking. But I like to see Kilgore go in. He's fun. He's exciting to watch because he does take, you know, what I call sophomoric shots in that. And that's not a strike. That's just something I like because I like a guy that's going to go in and force action. But you're saying for him, in order for him to win, he's going to need to slow it down a little bit and be a little more patient on his shots. Is that right?
Well, it's, like I said, it's one of those questions that you want him to go out there and you want him to be aggressive, you want him to push the action, you want him to do all that, but when he shoots, he has to make sure he makes a good shot, and when he's finishing, he has to make sure he finishes the right way. Those are the you know, like, if you watch him, and sometimes he has moments where he gets a little sloppy. So when I say patient, I guess I'm mainly saying you can't be sloppy, and sometimes when you're going too fast, you get a little sloppy. So I think it's more about just staying crisp with everything he does and staying sharp.
Well, he's well coached. He shouldn't have a problem staying crisp, I'll tell you that. Redshirt sophomore Brendan Barlow at 285 is going into a weight class competition this year at the championships that, you know, I don't know that we've ever seen the heavyweights, at least not in the last 10 to 15 years, so wide open. It was always a preconceived notion that it was going to be a Mako or a Cole Conrad or a Rochalt that was going to walk in. I mean, last year, Ellis and Duziak, man, and talk about lighting up the heavies. And both those guys are in it this year, but neither are the number one seed. So I believe that this is probably one of those times that we see the heavies just explode with competition, explode with possibilities. What are your thoughts on Brendan Barlow at 285?
Well, I one of the good things is Brendan, you know, wrestled twice, and twice was the third-ranked guy in the country. You know, he wrestled twice pretty much back-to-back or 2 weekends back-to-back, and he went to overtime with him the first time and lost. The second time he beat him in overtime. It was a very, very big confidence booster for him because now he believes he can wrestle with the best guys in the country. And I think as a staff, we believed it. But until, you know, he's a sophomore. He was behind Jamel Porter for the last 2 years. Now he actually believes it because of the matches this weekend. So he's going in this believing that he has the opportunity to reach his goals.
He has to wrestle a pigtail match just to get into the round of 32. So for him, nice warm up in front of a crowd. And for some, you know, there's a lot of guys out there would die for that, you know, that extra match just to get warmed up in front of that crowd. That atmosphere is a huge, is part of the contention. It truly is. But he'll go up against Cornell's Josh Arnone, I think it is, at 19-7 on the year. And the winner of that one, and if I had to pick one right now, I'd say Barlow, will take on the returning champion, Mark Ellis, with the number 9 seed.
Yep. Well, like, you know, both these guys you know pretty well. We Barlow wrestled the Cornell guy in the second weekend of the year, so we do have experience on him. And then the last year, you know, Ellis wrestled Jamel Porter in the semifinals of the national tournament, so we have him on tape, so we know him both pretty well. Like I said, we'll do all our work, and then hopefully put Brendan in the best position to win both those matches.
It'd be kind of cool to see him win his way through, having done all that hard work. I know it would be for you, absolutely, and I know it would be for Brendan, but from a fan's perspective, you know, he automatically wrestles in as an underdog having to go through a pigtail match, and for me, that's the kid that has gone that one extra step, and they earn my respect because of that. I really like that. Ellis, on the other hand, that's a big bear of a dude, man. He can come on hard when you least expect that. Number 9 seed is not necessarily the kind of respect you would think that the returning champion or the defending champion, depending on how you look at it, would get. But, you know, he's got some work to do. He absolutely does. Your redshirt freshman 74-pounder, Keith Witt, sitting on a nice year, 23-12. He will get tested early as well, battling number 6 seed Mike Benefield, 31-4 of Oklahoma State, in his opening bout. Now, I know you know about Oklahoma State. I mean, who doesn't? They're tough, and they're rough. But I think Keith Witt, as a redshirt freshman, has the guts, the stamina, the fortitude to go up against anybody in the country at 74 pounds. Talk to us about Keith.
Well, Keith, you know, he probably is an 84-pounder, but he can't beat Dustin out, so he cut his way down to 74 throughout the, you know, he started actually in the summertime. And working out with Dustin on a daily basis, I think gives him the belief that he can beat anybody because, you know, what he battles every day in our wrestling room with Dustin has made him a better wrestler. And ultimately, he's gotten a lot better this year because of Dustin. and he's matured. He had some bad loss at the beginning of the year, and towards the end of the year, he really picked it on for us. The thing about Keith is he's a dangerous wrestler. You know, I look at Danny Mitchell, for example, and he's just real consistent and stays in great position, where Keith is a little bit different in the sense that he's a very, very dangerous wrestler, can come at you from a lot of different angles and a lot of different positions, and he's good in a lot of positions, which, you know, that's why he's in the national tournament right now. So I'm looking forward to him getting some experience down there and doing as well as he can and, you know, winning as many matches as he can, trying to become an All-American.
I like to say that Keith uses every bit of the circle, every bit of the match. He really, truly, or the mat during a match, because he'll make you work. And I have a couple pictures on my computer, actually, of Keith Whitt, because he's interesting and exciting to watch. Now, like Barlow and Whitt, your redshirt sophomore Ross Tice at 65 will make his first appearance at the championships this year. Tice sitting on again another one of those nice seasons, 27-12. Great experience across the board, some real tight losses on the year. And I think those are equally as important as the tight wins. No matter what side you come out on in a win-loss category, sometimes you learn more from the losses. And I know you'll agree with me on that, Coach, but he's got to face an unseeded Brandon Hatchett of Lehigh with a 14-8 record. That's a kid that's looking to prove himself, and he's looking to prove it at the hands of Ross Tice. How does Tice go into this thing mentally?
I think Tyson will be a little bit nervous. His biggest thing is to get this match out of his way. If you look at tournaments and, you know, we have multiple matches in a day, his first match is usually his roughest. So we're going to do everything we can to make sure that he goes into his first match ready to go. He's a guy that once he gets rolling, he does a lot better. So the more matches we can get him involved in this weekend, the better he's going to do. And, you know, the longer he can stay in it, the higher his place he's going to be. So that's important, to get his first match out of the way to get his confidence going. But he's a young kid. Sometimes those young kids are the best ones because they don't know any better. So you just send them out there. You wind them up and send them out there.
Jim Andrassy, the head coach of Kent State, joins us. It wasn't that long ago, Coach, when you took over that program and people thought that, well, that's just a flash. You know, it's not going to be a consistent run toward greatness. Well, you've proven them wrong. It has been a consistent run toward greatness. You're attracting great athletes. I think you have a lot more supporters now than ever before, and people are buying into your theory and practice of coaching, buying into the idea that Kent State's not just a contender. They're for real. What do you have to say to that?
Well, you know, it shows a lot of hard work that Josh Moore and myself and the rest of the staff have done. And like I said, we've got better every single year with our national ranking, you know, our team ranking. And if you look this year, we're a young team. We had one senior, which is Danny Mitchell. On paper, our best guy is in the lineup, and Nick Bevan, he redshirted, so he comes back next year. Next year, we're going to have 5 national qualifiers returning. And like I said, there's 2 guys that were both freshmen that, you know, I think if you got down or right on the bubble, being Mally Schuster and Adam Kola, that were probably like the 34th, 35th best guys in the weight class that didn't qualify. So I think that also brought some hunger to them. We're going to be a very, very solid team in the future, and it's one of those things where I'm excited about it. I think that we're going to be better next year than we were this year, and if it you know, stays steady, I think in 3 or 4 years we could be a top 10 team pretty easily, and, you know, who knows what can happen from there.
Coach, be fair. I believe I could get a 10-minute real positive interview out of you on what you had for dinner on Tuesday. You are one of the most positive, forward-looking coaches in the business today, and I think that has an effect on your athletes. It most certainly does on your assistant coaches like Josh Moore, Lashway, Wolf, and Manning. These guys get it. It's real infectious. So I'm gonna challenge you right now. I'm gonna challenge you. Continue to do what you're doing. People are noticing. It is making a difference. When people are looking at schools to wrestle, guess what? They're talking about Kent State, and I love that fact. I do. There's more than just a couple schools in Ohio. Kent State and all the other schools in Ohio, that's how I think folks are starting to look at it. I know I got a photographer there who runs BuckeyeWrestling.com, and Kevin is real tickled with the opportunity to follow you guys as a photographer and doing audio interviews with you guys as well. So whatever it is you're doing, Jimmy, keep it up. I'm looking forward to seeing you in Omaha, Nebraska at the D1 Championships. Congratulations on the year. I know you want more. Keep after, buddy. Good job.
Hey, thank you very much.